Om Gyanatimi Randhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrestham Manumapi Shachiputram Atraswarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupuring Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shrigurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavans Cha Shri Rupam Sagraja Tam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parajana Sangitam Krishna Pitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Before discussing directly about the, or attempting to discuss about the unlimited glories of Srila Prabhupada and our gratefulness to him, I should first express my appreciation and gratefulness to all the devotees all over the world who worked very hard to make yesterday's Janmashtami celebration a success. Success means we chanted Hare Krishna, we heard and chanted about Krishna, and here in Vellore in South India, it's estimated about 4,000 people came, which was beyond our estimation and beyond what we'd planned for. So we didn't have prasadam for everyone. Devotees were working, fasting all day and cooking all day, and so many services they did. So many people came, probably that wasn't really properly allowed during the corona restriction time, but as it happens, the Janmashtami festival just came at a time when there's a lull in the corona pandemic. It's in between two waves. It's still going on, but it's not so high. And so it was a nice turnout. And like I say, devotees worked very hard. I'm just saying in Vellore, I was here, and no doubt in so many locations throughout the world. So it's very pleasing to see, and I'm sure Srila Prabhupada is very pleased, and of course Krishna is very pleased. Devotees are working so hard with so much devotion to make a festival that people like to come and be Krishna conscious, at least for this day, at least here in India. And we also see Janmashtami, and we also find that Rath Yatras, Gaur Purnima, these are usually the festivals when devotees who are somewhat estranged or just for whatever reason, they don't usually come to any, they don't come to the temple, but often they'll turn up at least for this festival. So it helps keep devotees who are a little bit, like estranged or distanced, helps to keep them in touch. Also, the success of our movement, there are many ways we could measure that. One way is in which Janmashtami is a public holiday all over the world, and heads of state, they make announcements just like in Britain. The Queen of England, she gives a message to the nation on Christmas. So we should have that for Janmashtami. And actually, even more the success of our movement will be when not just our devotees, but the general public realize, well, that means the general public have to become devotees. They realize that although the celebration of Janmashtami is a monumental festival, Krishna has come, but for us, even more so, the next day, Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. Because if Srila Prabhupada hadn't come, we wouldn't be celebrating Janmashtami. In India, yes, people would be, but not the way they are now. Srila Prabhupada revived Krishna Bhakti to a large extent in India itself. And you might think that's a sectarian claim, but even the late revered Pejava Swami, he said that the reason that so many people are coming to Udupi is because of ISKCON, which means because of Srila Prabhupada and those who are assisting Srila Prabhupada. So we want to make this a great festival also. It is tough after we've been fasting, taking rest late, but we pull ourselves together and glorify Srila Prabhupada. And of course, it should not be just one day in the year that we glorify Srila Prabhupada. Dhyam stuvang stasya yashastri sandhyam. At least three times a day, we should glorify him. And throughout our whole life. I'll read now my Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada for this year. Usually we give, the usual format is that we give a general class and later the offerings are read, but I'll make this offering and then I'll talk some more on the glories of Srila Prabhupada. Here's my Vyasa Puja offering, offered with all the humility at my command. One thing I should say is that my main focus of my life for the last few years has been writing what could be seen as a mega Vyasa Puja offering, in as much as I'm writing an extensive book about Srila Prabhupada. So many books have been written about Srila Prabhupada. Let there be more. So I'm writing an extensive book. So it's daily meditation for myself on Srila Prabhupada, his instructions, his movement. So now I refer to that in the Vyasa Puja offering, which I will now read. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravarni Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarne. My most dear Srila Prabhupada, you are my life. Your orders and your mission are the only meaning to my life. Despite my chronic dismay and trepidation at the condition of your movement, I also feel increasing enthusiasm in service to your mission. My apologies for the extended delay in completing my current most important service to your mission, writing a book about it. I am working steadily, and by your grace, it will manifest before very long for your pleasure, so that I can focus on expanding my service to you on several fronts. I do not want to inordinately postpone turning those plans into reality, or at least making a good start in doing so. Please bless me. I can expect your blessings to the extent that I recognize myself to be entirely dependent upon them. Your divine grace can take a crow-like excuse for a Vaishnava and make him dance like a peacock. All these years I have been living on your mercy, feeling it strongly guiding my life, and now, by your mercy, I feel growing enthusiasm to go forward and up, both in developing my own spiritual aspirations and by increasing my service to your mission. The prospects are bright and the possibilities unlimited, but the lures of Maya are as dangerous as ever. Many greater men than I succumbed to Maya even after performing phenomenal service, which I can hardly imagine emulating. Srila Prabhupada, you are my only protector. Save me from the dangers I am constantly harassed by, and make me an instrument in your mission of saving others. I fall at your lotus feet. Taking inspiration from the author of Hari Bhakti Kalpalatika, I submit that, despite being an unqualified fool, struggling under the illusion of false ego and a false sense of ownership, I am trying to engage in your service. Even in writing this offering, surely I have committed offenses to you. O Srila Prabhupada, O ocean of mercy, certainly I am very wretched and worthy to be punished. I beg pardon for my offenses. O Srila Prabhupada, O unlimited ocean of mercy, I have committed many sinful activities, disrespected many great souls, and whimsically neglected your instructions. Despite making a show of being your disciple, factually, I have not even a small drop of devotion for you. O Srila Prabhupada, only by your mercy may I be purified of these offenses. O Srila Prabhupada, I have no taste for hearing your glories, worshipping your lotus feet, or meditating on your eternal form and pastimes. I am envious of your glories and of your servants. I am most shameless. Please forgive me when I say, O Master, please be merciful. O Srila Prabhupada, while pretending to serve your lotus feet with my body, mind, and words, I simply engage in the unceasing service of my senses. At heart, I am only interested in my own misconceived self-interest. In this way, I cheat everyone. I am an ignorant rascal who thinks himself very learned. O Srila Prabhupada, O ocean of mercy, please rescue me from this madness. O Srila Prabhupada, due to my past misdeeds, I am incessantly tortured by the distresses of material existence. I am a big, loud-mouthed idiot. My mind oscillates between bewilderment, agitation, and disappointment. But you are a great ocean of transcendental bliss. You remove the sufferings of the distressed, and you are the protector, father, and maintainer of your disciples. Although you are mercifully delivering me, I am unable to properly serve you at any time or in any way. I have nothing better to say than, another year gone, I'm still here. Your merciful message of sanity continues to reverberate in my heart, subduing the egoism and foolishness therein, sustaining the conviction that I must remain at your lotus feet, or I am doomed. Ami toma nitto das tai kori eto ash tumi bina onnogoti nai. Desiring to at last become your worthy servant, the miscreant Bhakti Vikas Swami. Hare Krishna. I mentioned about that book I was writing. I'm just going to read one chapter, or the major portion of one chapter from that book about Srila Prabhupada. This chapter is called Genuine Acharya. We all know that Srila Prabhupada is a genuine Acharya. Otherwise, whoever happens to be listening to this wouldn't be listening to it. I mean, it's quite, well, not very possible. There are some demons who are listening in for the sake of criticizing, but it's presumed that whoever is listening to this, we're listening to this because we are enamored by the glorious qualities and activities and instructions of Srila Prabhupada. So we know he's a genuine Acharya. We accept that. And we can probably all give some reasons why we accept that. But in this essay, I have attempted to capture the major reasons why Srila Prabhupada is a genuine Acharya by describing the characteristics that are intrinsic to a genuine Acharya. So while I'm reading this, I'm not directly describing Srila Prabhupada, but you can just keep in mind that this is absolutely pertinent to Srila Prabhupada. Now, as in most of the rest of the book, many quotes from Srila Prabhupada are embedded within my prose, which is, that can be seen if you're reading that those quotes are in quotation marks, but you can't see that when I'm just speaking. So just bear in mind that a lot of what I'm going to be saying is actually quotes from Srila Prabhupada himself describing about the qualities of a genuine Acharya. All right, let's start that with a quotation from Vayu Purana, which Srila Prabhupada also quoted. Achinoti ya shastrartham acharestapyatyapi svayam acharate yasmad acharyastena kirtitaha. An acharya is an ideal teacher who knows the purport of the revealed scriptures, behaves exactly according to their injunctions, and teaches his students to adopt these principles also. 3 points are given. He knows the purport of the scriptures, behaves exactly according to their injunctions, and teaches his students to adopt these principles. Means he teaches his students to understand the scriptures and to act according to the scriptures. Continuing the reading. In essence, Acharya means one who acts in accordance with scriptural injunctions and teaches others, especially his disciples, to do likewise. The word Acharya means teacher. It may denote a professor of any subject within the Vedic tradition. For instance, Dronacharya was an Acharya of Dhanurveda, military science. Acharya can also mean the head of a monastery or sampradaya. In current Hinduism, Acharya is one of the many words with religious connotations that is often misused, to the extent that a rascal who poses as a spiritual leader can become accepted as a guru or acharya. And then I have in this book a whole chapter of, also showing how Srila Prabhupada is distinguished from these cheaters posing as gurus and how he himself wanted to be distinguished from them. Continuing the reading. In the best sense, the word Acharya denotes an authentic teacher of spiritual knowledge, particularly Krishna consciousness. And I'm going to read some quotes from Srila Prabhupada in this regard. He who propagates the cult of devotion is called an Acharya. Very simple. He who propagates the cult of devotion is called an Acharya. Then another quote, in the dealings of an Acharya, there are no activities but those of transcendental loving service to the Lord. Another quote, The special function of a teacher is to make people Krishna conscious. A bona fide teacher following in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya has no other business than to spread the principles of Krishna consciousness all over the world. The real qualification of an Acharya is that he presents himself as a servant of the Supreme. Continuing the reading, quoting from Professor Hopkins, Thomas Hopkins, who's already been quoted earlier in the book. There are quite a few quotes from him. He was very appreciative of Srila Prabhupada and very insightful also. So continuing the reading, thus, Professor Hopkins wrote of the power of Srila Prabhupada's personality as he taught, challenged, chastised, praised, and inspired his young followers, singing devotional songs, overseeing the installation of deities and procedures of worship, clarifying philosophical issues, and demonstrating by his example how a true devotee of Krishna should live and work. That's the end of this quote from Thomas Hopkins. By definition, an Acharya follows Sadhu Shastra Guru. A guru follows his own guru. Thus, he is a representative of his sampradaya, as discussed in the above section, which I'm not reading now. An Acharya is grounded in and knowledgeable of Shastra, unfailingly cites it as evidence, and presents it in the manner of his predecessors. These are all extremely important points. And again, quoting from Srila Prabhupada, several quotes. Sadhu Shastra Guru, one has to test all spiritual matters according to the instructions of saintly persons, scriptures, and the spiritual master. The spiritual master is one who follows the instructions of his predecessors, namely the sadhus or saintly persons. A bona fide spiritual master does not mention anything not mentioned in the authorized scriptures. Ordinary people have to follow the instructions of sadhu, shastra, and guru. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada. Sadhu means that whatever he'll speak immediately, he'll give evidence from the Shastra. Another quote. Our practice is, whenever we speak something, immediately we give quote from authoritative Shastra. Then another quote. Whatever we say, immediately quote some Vedic version. And factually, Srila Prabhupada continually quoted Shastra in the original Sanskrit, even in his early days in America, to uncommitted audiences. See, he's in America, people, when he speaks the Sanskrit, to them it just sounds like some mumbo-jumbo, but he quoted it anyway. Satsarup Das Goswami noted in this regard, Sanskrit! Exclamation mark. No one knows a word of it! Another exclamation mark. But there is never any question for Srila Prabhupada. Even if they don't understand it, the transcendental sound of Shastra will purify them. It is his authority, and he cannot omit it. That's a very important point. You could just say in English some translation, but by giving the verse, that shows that you're referring to an ancient source, an established, authorized source. If you just say in English the translation, and then someone can change that a little bit, and you may end up something quite different. But if you have the Sanskrit, then that's a reference point. At least for those who know Sanskrit, it's a reference. And Srila Prabhupada gave the word-by-word translation. So we can see what Srila Prabhupada is saying is as it is. It's directly in line with Shastra. Continuing the reading. An acharya must also personify all that he teaches. Not only does he know and explain what it means to be fully Krishna conscious, he shows it by his very life. Just thinking of Srila Prabhupada. As many disciples witness, Srila Prabhupada perfectly executed these functions of an acharya. And in this book, there are chapters devoted to different subjects, so you might be thinking, well, that's a point that should be elaborated on more. It is elsewhere, the point that Srila Prabhupada, he walked the talk. He didn't just talk about you should do this, you should do that, but he set the greatest example himself. Quoting from Harishari Prabhu's memories of Srila Prabhupada, did I read this? As many disciples witnessed, Srila Prabhupada perfectly executed these functions of an acharya. So Harishari, who lived intimately with Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, for between 2 and 3 years, wrote, by traveling with and observing Srila Prabhupada's interactions with all varieties of people, we saw that in every circumstance, he exemplified Vaishnava etiquette and behavior. Every activity of his personal sadhana and how he represented our previous acharyas in the preaching field according to time and place were impressed upon us. He was a living university of Krishna consciousness and the epitome of what it means to teach by example. Srila Prabhupada is the living proof of everything he taught us. If you want to know how to serve and love Lord Krishna, everything about Srila Prabhupada teaches us that in the most glorious way. His very life is a demonstration of those truths. George Harrison summed it up. George Harrison's name appears in this book several times. He was a very famous man at that time. George Harrison summed it up. He was a perfect example of everything he preached. So that is a characteristic of a genuine acharya. He should preach the truth and live exactly according to it. And of course, Srila Prabhupada did that. In Srila Prabhupada's definition, an acharya is one who, out of deep concern for afflicted humanity, always contemplates how to bring people to Krishna consciousness, is active in uplifting them, and is qualified to do so. So he's always thinking how to save people from Maya. He doesn't just think about it, but he acts in certain ways to help to uplift them. And he's qualified to uplift them. It's all very well to say, well, I'll be a guru, I'll be an acharya, but I will save these people. But one has to take power of attorney from Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to be able to do so. Then another quote from Srila Prabhupada. An acharya must always be eager to deliver the fallen souls. One who knows the conclusion of the shastras, follow in the footsteps of his predecessors, and endeavors to preach the bhakti cult all over the world is considered an acharya. So it's not a small thing to be known as an acharya. Then continuing with another quote, serious interest in the welfare of the public makes one a bona fide acharya. So you may say, well, what about feeding the poor and this and that? But really helping people, as Srila Prabhupada explained, and that's discussed in this book also, really helping them is to help them on the path back to Godhead. Continuing the reading, an acharya does not exploit his followers. Since the acharya is a confidential servitor of the Lord, his heart is always full of compassion for humanity in its suffering. He knows that all suffering is due to the absence of devotional service to the Lord, and therefore he always tries to find ways to change people's activities. making them favorable for the attainment of devotion. That is the qualification of an acharya. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to make his disciples into acharyas so that they, but that means having the compassion to see the suffering and act for the welfare of others by bringing them to Krishna consciousness. Then another quote from Srila Prabhupada. Actually, there are so many, but like I say, some of them are intertwined with the prose, so it's hard to state exactly each time what is a quote from Srila Prabhupada and what isn't. So continuing what I've written here. The business of a real acharya is to introduce Krishna consciousness throughout the whole world in accord with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. The true acharya presents Krishna to everyone by preaching the holy name of the Lord throughout the world. Thus, a real acharya knows how to attract people to Krishna as a sculptor sees a possible masterpiece in every block of stone. A pure devotee detects in even the most despicable and unlikely persons a spark, a possibility of Krishna consciousness. Piercing through thick, almost impenetrable layers of false ego, lust, greed, illusion, and madness, the acharya speaks to the hidden soul. Come with me, be with Krishna, your long forgotten friend. This, that the Vaishnavas, they speak in such a way to cut through the attachments that bind us in this material world. Sanda evasya chindanti mano vyasanga uktibihi. By their words, they cut these strong attachments to this material world. I've not written it here because how much can you put in a book? It's presumed that devotees have some the readers have some background in all this, that you don't have to explain every point in tremendous detail. Continuing the reading. Unfortunately, most conditioned souls fail to recognize the acharya as their real well-wisher. But those who respond even slightly find themselves recipients of the acharya's eager and causeless mercy. Those who go on to become his disciples find themselves being dragged, even despite themselves, to the platform of purity. By his transcendental qualities, born of deep love for Krishna, he incites his followers, he incites in his followers an eagerness to have the same vision of pure Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada had all the characteristics of a genuine Vaishnava Acharya, inasmuch as he devotedly practiced and with great endeavor and faith preached Krishna consciousness. He fulfilled the criteria of Mundaka Upanishad in being Shrotriya, which means learned in Shastra as received in Guru Parampara, and Brahmanishta, fully dedicated to Godhead. Like all outstanding Vaishnava Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada was a faithful and committed follower of his own guru, was of irreproachable character, established deities, staunchly opposed Mayavad, and wrote volumes of books. Writing volumes of books was his manifestation of his compassion. Guru means he gives knowledge, and Srila Prabhupada particularly gave knowledge in his books, which are directly connected with Krishna. It's Krishna's instruction coming through Srila Prabhupada, and that becomes manifest as his books. Continuing the reading, Srila Prabhupada described the acharya in the true sense of the term as being authorized to deliver Krishna, and he enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. Being empowered by Krishna, the acharya is a perfect brahmana and has unlimited intelligence in guiding the activities of his disciple. So this requires some faith from our side. If we're going to avail of the gifts of the acharya, it requires faith from our side that by following Srila Prabhupada, we will not be exploited, we will not be cheated. Even though it might appear like that to an outsider. Oh, you're working so hard and you don't even get paid. But devotees, they understand that they serve Srila Prabhupada and his mission in an attitude of love. It's not for payment. Then, continuing, furthermore, a bona fide acharya can never support the demoniac activities of atheistic men who present themselves as God. It is the main business of an acharya to devise such impostors posing as God before the innocent public. So that's another feature of a bona fide acharya. He doesn't just, okay, everything's all right, and we're chanting Hare Krishna, and maybe some other people are doing something else, but it's all okay. No, an acharya doesn't say that. He says, to quote Srila Prabhupada, I'm okay, you're not okay. And he gives the means by which they can become okay, or better than okay, much better than okay, to be situated in one's constitutional position as an eternal servant of Krishna. Hence, continuing the reading, hence, although acharya in the true sense of the term, that's a phrase that Srila Prabhupada used, although acharya in the true sense of the term can refer to any bona fide teacher of Krishna consciousness, it particularly denotes a highly advanced devotee who is also vastly learned and an empowered preacher. Such an acharya makes an outstanding and unique contribution to Vedic spiritual and cultural life by his literary works and forceful preaching. So we can see this in Srila Prabhupada, in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in all the acharyas, but especially these two, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, they wrote many, they were always writing and very forcefully preaching. So forceful preaching by fighting against misleaders and defeating their wrong theories, by his purity and by his ability to defend, sustain, or give impetus to the parampara in which he appears. Now, Srila Prabhupada was very committed to uphold the dignity of the parampara. So that's another symptom of a genuine acharya. He doesn't say, I said it, so you should follow. But he says, no, I heard from my guru, who heard from his guru. There's a parampara, and the center is Shastra. Continuing reading. An acharya is typified by his strong desire and ability to communicate Krishna consciousness to others. It should be fairly straightforward to understand. Not very easy to follow, but it's easy to understand that a genuine acharya has a very strong desire to communicate Krishna consciousness to others, and very expert in doing so also. By teaching and exemplifying the teachings of the book Bhagavat, an acharya is a person Bhagavat, that we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is described. The book, Srimad Bhagavatam, is called Bhagavat, and a person who is devoted to Krishna is also called a Bhagavat. So, continuing the sentence then, by teaching and exemplifying the teachings of the book, Bhagavat, an acharya is a person Bhagavat, being ever absorbed in communicating to others the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then a quote from Srila Prabhupada, everything is already there to spread Krishna consciousness. The work of the acharya is how to present it. That's all. And thus an acharya knows perfectly well how to adjust religious principles in terms of time and place suitable to a specific audience and the special techniques required according to country, time, and candidate. It's very, very important in our changing world, rapidly changing world. Things are different in quite a few ways since Srila Prabhupada was here. For instance, gender, identity, politics has become rampant and embedded in the psyche of the Western world. There were beginning phases of the recent feminism when Srila Prabhupada was present, but it's gone to a whole other level. So now, so what do you do? How do you react to that? Can be difficult to say. How would Srila Prabhupada react? Maybe difficult to say. Well, the thing is, I'll say, yes, yes, surely Prabhupada would do like this. But then other followers of Srila Prabhupada may say, no, 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 he wouldn't. He would do like that, something else different. So it requires a very deep study of the acharya and his teachings. His personal example, that's also a way of his teaching, as we've just read. That to understand what is his mood in this regard, in any issue. In terms of time, place, and suitable to a specific audience, and the special techniques required according to country, time, and candidate. Then I'm following that with a quote from Srila Prabhupada's books. To broadcast the cult of Krishna consciousness, one has to learn the possibility of renunciation in terms of country, time, and candidate. The teacher, acharya, has to consider time, candidate, and country. He must avoid the principle of niyamagraha. That is, he should not try to perform the impossible. Well, Srila Prabhupada did try to perform the impossible, and he was successful. But this is a warning that don't imitate what the great acharyas can do. Follow in their footsteps. Srila Prabhupada continues in this quote. What is possible in one country may not be possible in another. And in his preaching techniques and even in the legal setup, even in the property setup, Srila Prabhupada treated India and the West differently, somewhat differently. For instance, in India, all the accounts had to go to Bombay. In America, each center was financially independent. That was the idea. So Srila Prabhupada writes, what is possible in one country may not be possible in another. The acharya's duty is to accept the essence of devotional service. There may be a little change here and there as far as yukta vairagya, proper renunciation, is concerned. The essence of devotional service must be taken into consideration and not the outward paraphernalia. The consequences of this we can see in how Srila Prabhupada preached to the West. He did some things that shocked his godbrothers. For instance, giving sannyas to young men, giving or arranging marriages which broke up. Srila Prabhupada also said, I'm experimenting. Of course, his experiments, mercifully by the grace of Krishna, they mostly worked out tremendously, tremendously successful. But there's some things which Srila Prabhupada started and then he stopped. arranging marriages. Yeah, he started in the beginning, then he stopped that because he saw that devotees weren't ready to stick together on the basis of Krishna consciousness. So he was in a quandary, you could say, because he wanted to bring young men and young women, or there are, he didn't want to, I'm not going to say he didn't want to bring them in, but they were coming to him in so many. And Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter, the hippies are our best preaching field. Times have changed. What's now called a hippie doesn't exist practically in America or anywhere else anymore. So Srila Prabhupada made adjustments to bring them in. For instance, one of his disciples designed a poster and a handbill, Stay High Forever, which was a LSD slogan, a drugs-taking slogan, staying high. To be high means to be intoxicated with psychotropic drugs. But Stay High Forever means, in the little poster, it's explained that when you take a drug, you have some euphoric feeling, and then it's finished, and then it's over. But with Krishna consciousness, you stay high forever. You have the euphoric feeling, which can be continued as long as one continues to go on chanting Hare Krishna, if one applies oneself to the process. So, and just making the point here that Srila Prabhupada, he did make some adjustments to the hippies, but on the other hand, for preaching, in the very beginning of his movement, he didn't insist that you. He would even initiate people with beards and long hair. Later, he was very strict about it. So, he was an acharya in the sense that he knew how to preach according to time, place, and circumstance. In like a needle and out like a plow, was the Bengali saying, which he sometimes quoted in this regard. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada in this regard: the acharya's business is to keep pace with the time, circumstances, etc., and to push on. Now, by the way, this essay, Genuine Acharya, there are many, many points which could be made to expand the points that I'm making, but they're made later in the book. Just for the sake of organizing the book like that. Here at this point, I just wanted to bring together the points which show that Srila Prabhupada is a genuine acharya, which we don't doubt, but it's just like we read Vishnu Sahasranam and then we hear the glories of the Supreme Lord and we understand more of how he is the Supreme Lord, and we relish hearing his activities, and we become more committed to surrendering to Krishna. And the same way, by hearing about the glories of Srila Prabhupada, we become very pleased at heart, and we become inspired to try to follow in his footsteps by coming to the standard that he wanted us to come to, which was to be like him. Tall order, but he wanted us to do it. Continuing, the next paragraph is all my writing without any quotes from Srila Prabhupada or anyone else. Some devotees are learned scholars and active preachers, but not yet fully realized in their devotion. Others are deeply devoted and dedicated preachers, but are not expert in Shastra. Still others are great scholars with an advanced sense of devotion, but are not very active in preaching. Others yet are enthusiastic preachers, but are not very effective due to a stereotyped approach, lacking the insight in how to communicate Krishna consciousness according to specific audiences. That could be discussed more and more. Others have many devotional qualities personally, but they don't fight against the cheaters, which can be seen as a defect if one is simply saintly but doesn't fight against the cheaters. then you may be glorious as a devotee. I wrote here, all such types of devotees are glorious, but are not acharyas in the highest or fullest sense of the term. To be an acharya in the fullest sense of the term, we have to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and go and tell the nonsense people that you are all nonsense. Maybe not exactly using those words, but exposing those who are gross cheaters. That should be done by genuine acharyas. Continuing to read, as Srila Sanatan Goswami told Srila Haridas Thakur, Apane achare keho na kore pracha, pracha koren keho na koren acha. Acha pracha name karoho duikaj. Tumi sarva guru, tumi jagater aj. Some devotees scrupulously follow the prescribed practices, but do not preach Krishna consciousness. Whereas others preach very strongly, but they're not rigid practitioners. You, Sanatan Goswami told Haridas Thakur, and this is relevant to all acharyas, you simultaneously perform both duties in relation to the holy name by your personal behavior and by your preaching. Therefore, you are the spiritual master of the entire world, for you are the most advanced devotee in the world. So the exemplar for all acharyas is Haridas Thakur, personally extremely humble, but by his example he showed what it means to be Krishna conscious, and he could preach also. He knew Shastra and he would preach, and he wouldn't let the people with the wrong idea simply get away with it. He would point out the defects in their thinking. Continuing with my writing, being especially empowered by Krishna, an acharya in the real sense of the term does not only initiate and teach disciples, but does something exceptional, as Narada did in converting the hunter. That's just one example. He, the acharya, is extraordinary, pellucidly, naturally, unpretentiously, without even trying to be, and certainly without faking it, not advertising it. He's extraordinary. He has all these qualities, and his life is full of wonderful events that spring from his deep devotion to the Supreme Lord. Thus he is a self-effulgent acharya. By his own glories he stands out. Srila Prabhupada was not a big figure in the Gaudiya Math, but by his own glories he stood out. What he did for Krishna's service was unprecedented. Ananya, unique. Nabhuto nabhavishyati. It was never done in the past, and it's not expected to be seen anything like that in the future also. He is a self-effulgent acharya, another phrase that Srila Prabhupada employed, meaning one who is so obviously qualified as a Vaishnava acharya that he is universally recognized as such, except by personalities, if you want to use that word, who are just like owls and never open their eyes to see the audience. So the example is given here, it's given from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that an owl may say, well, I don't see. But then he's at night, it's already dark, and he closes his eyes, and how can you see anything? Srila Prabhupada is so obviously qualified as a Vaishnava acharya that he is universally recognized as such, except by personalities who are just like owls and never open their eyes to see the sunshine, who cannot see the brilliance of Krishna's favor upon the Mahabhagavata devotee. Clearly Krishna empowered Srila Prabhupada, and to not recognize that is a defect, that he is a genuine acharya, even on the level above so many. He made so many people into gurus. They became suitable for that service. But those who cannot see this, they're like owls who keep their eyes shut, even in the daytime. And then they think that the true is untrue and the untrue is true. They can't see clearly. Continuing the reading, to be an acharya in the real sense of the term is not easy, for it requires one to speak truths that many do not like to hear. It's not easy to go against the grain of the whole of the society, but of the world. The people are convinced, yes, we want to enjoy ourselves. And Srila Prabhupada, as a genuine acharya, points out that you're not enjoying. If you read these books of Srila Prabhupada, then the tendency to enjoy material life will automatically decrease, even if we don't read a section which specifically states material life is full of misery. But it's an underlying message. Srila Prabhupada's books are very powerful. We shouldn't underestimate them. Continuing my reading, by softening the message, an acharya could attract more followers, but he is committed to present only the truth and nothing less. And what is that truth? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Surrender to him is the only duty of human life. Anything outside of this is meaningless and useless and should be given up. So that's a quote I'm giving. It's not really a quote. It's a paraphrase of so much of what Srila Prabhupada said. Continuing my reading, such a message cannot be expected to be popular. But a great acharya, being empowered by Krishna, changes the lives of many. For while he is uncompromising, an acharya is also pragmatic in bringing people to Krishna consciousness. That's an important point. He gives the truth, but he's also pragmatic. He doesn't dilute the truth, but he's pragmatic in delivering it. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared in order to deliver all the fallen souls and therefore devised many methods to liberate from the clutches of Maya, a preacher must strictly follow the rules and regulations laid down in the Shastras, yet at the same time devise a means by which the preaching work to reclaim the fallen may go on with full force. So personally, he follows all the rules, but he preaches very widely and very strongly. It's not that he's so attached to following the rules that he can't preach widely. And in preaching, he makes some adjustments also. This is all discussed in detail in this book, which is still under construction. So Srila Prabhupada explained this principle, citing himself as an example. Every acharya has a specific means of propagating his spiritual movement with the aim of bringing men to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the method of one acharya may be different from that of another, but the ultimate goal is never neglected. An acharya should devise a means by which people may somehow or other come to Krishna consciousness. We see that Srila Prabhupada had so many means for preaching: book distribution, Hainam Sankirtan, Sunday festivals, temples which we can invite people to, diorama exhibitions, deity worship, prasad restaurants, reading rooms he wanted, so many ways. An acharya should devise a means by which people may somehow or other come to Krishna consciousness. First, they should become Krishna conscious, and all the prescribed rules and regulations may later gradually be introduced. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we follow this policy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For example, since boys and girls in the Western countries freely intermingle, special concessions regarding their customs and habits are necessary to bring them to Krishna consciousness. The acharya must devise a means to bring them to devotional service. Therefore, although I am a sannyasi, I sometimes take part in getting boys and girls married, although in the history of sannyas, no sannyasi has personally taken part in marrying his disciples. So that's a major point, that Srila Prabhupada made adjustments for the Western world, concessions, he called them, regarding their customs and habits. Srila Prabhupada didn't insist in the Western countries on the decorum and separation that is required between men and women in Indian culture. No, he didn't insist on that. But at the same time, he said it's a concession to bring them to Krishna consciousness. So it doesn't mean also that his allowing men and women to mix to some extent, he wanted that forever. In the beginning, he was very lenient, but then he warned devotees about things. He became more strict later on. Going on with my reading now. In pursuance of the principle of helping people to come to Krishna consciousness, another major duty of an acharya is to publish books. If we see Madhvacharya, he wrote important books, Ramanuja, and then in his Sampradaya, Ramanuja, so many scholars writing books about Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, writing books. So we see that's at least in this Kali Yuga, which is all we know, more or less. We hardly know the history going back beyond that, before that. In this Kali Yuga, people have poor memory, so the Vedic knowledge has to be committed to books. So in a quote to support that statement that a major duty of an acharya is to publish books, Srila Prabhupada writes, "The acharya's duty is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. In this way, an acharya not only does tremendous work on behalf of the Godhead during his manifest presence, but his influence continues long after passing from this world." So that's also a symptom of an acharya, a real genuine acharya, that it's not that while he's there, there's Hari Bol and a big hype, and then when he passes away, he's more largely forgotten. But Srila Prabhupada's influence continues on and on and on. Everyone in this Krishna conscious movement, the vast majority of members of the Krishna conscious movement nowadays never saw Srila Prabhupada, never talked to him, never spoke to him. But their lives are profoundly influenced by him. That is the power of an acharya. In the best manner possible, Srila Prabhupada demonstrated all the qualities of a genuine acharya, an acharya in the truest and highest sense of the term. At every moment, with every breath, he lived and demonstrated the essence of all Shastric teachings. In all respect, he was an acharya par excellence. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Pancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya churna kung padayoni patya kritvacha karkushata meta da humbravimi. Hey, sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat. Goranga Chandra Charne Kurutana Ragaha Parivadatu Jano Yatata Tava Nanamukaro Navayang Vicharayamaha Hari Rasa Madhira Madati Mata Bhuvi Vilotama Nartama Nirvishama